I'm talking to Doreen McGee. Doreen, are you from around here originally? Or
I am originally from Bleak.
Okay, and
near the border.
What was your maiden name? Or
Granlees.
And so growing up in Bleak, what was your father doing for a living?
My father worked on the DOE and he was part-time on the UDR.
What does DOE stand for?
DOE, Department of... It was the road service.
Oh, in the council?
Uh-huh, in the council.
Okay, and were you born into Church of Ireland? Or
I was born in the Church of Ireland.
And so the house was out in the country then, outside Bleak, was it?
It was, yes. Uh-huh.
Very near the border there?
About 5 miles from it.
Okay.
Up on the Enniskillen Road.
And so, being born in the 1950s, what was it like growing up? Did you get on very well with your neighbours and all of that?
We did, yes. We had good neighbours. Mostly Protestant neighbours. There wouldn't have been much going on for us, I suppose, as children, down that part.
Okay. And going to school, was it a mixed school or was it...
No, it was all... It was Catholic. It was Protestant, sorry.
Yeah. And so going home in the bus, was
we
it...
Went home, uh-huh.
Was it mixed going home in the bus then?
No, it wasn't, no.
How did the troubles affect you then? How did it come to your door and in what form? What way?
Well, as I said, my father was on the UDR and I joined it back in 1979.
What was
Robert Granlees?
Say that again.
Robert Granlees. He was a corporal. It's awful hard now.
Is that why you joined then?
Well, I had a boyfriend shot before that.
Shot and
killed.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
And what was his name?
Alan Ferguson.
Oh, and my goodness. And so what were the circumstances behind his death then?
Well, he was on the UDR as well. He was out on patrol on the Sunday evening and they ambushed them. They had a landmine plus the shot at them as well.
Where did they ambush?
Down at Scribber, at Garrison. And he was shot dead.
And were you going out with him for a long time? Were you engaged?
3 years.
Yeah.
I was with him for 3 years.
So you were really brokenhearted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, indeed I was.
Yeah. And was it soon after that then that you joined?
It was. Uh-huh. He was shot in 1978 and I joined in 1979.
Now, tell me about your experiences and your father's experiences in the UDR.
Well, back in 1980, the 28th of February, I come home from work and Mummy said to me, there's a car stopped down the road and there's the boot and the bonnet's up and there's somebody round at the boot. And she said to me, there's somebody after jumping the fence. And she said, go down and see, she said. So, of course, I went down and there was three IRA standing behind a hedge and the other man was at the car. So they came out onto the side of the road and one of them said to me, don't move. And just at that, the other boy put up the gun and shot me in the leg. And I fell to the ground then because they fractured the femur. And they still kept firing back at the house. And I thought, oh God, they'll hit me again. But they didn't. But they were cutting the sods off the side of the road. Probably maybe thought Daddy would have run out or something. I don't know what their motive was. But he didn't even know that I had been shot. And Mummy come out and she run back in and she says, oh, Doreen's been shot. So he went to get the gun then. But the boy at the car called them then. And they left in the car, but they still kept firing back at the house. They were cutting lumps out of there was like a wee porch at the front and they were cutting lumps out of it. They had three Armalites. I don't know whether the man in the car had a gun or not. He probably hadn't. He probably was just the driver. But they still kept firing back until they went away out of sight.
Did you ever find out who they were?
No. No, we didn't.
Do you think they were local?
Well, it was local set us up.
Were you and your father part-time or were you full-time?
We were part-time. I worked in a factory in Enniskillen as well.
In the cotton factory, was it?
No, it was Kent Plastics in Enniskillen.
Oh, yes.
Where it is now.
Yes. Yeah. And so, well, that's an extraordinary story. And so did that deter you from continuing your duties?
Well, I was medically discharged then. Because I never was right after it. My leg never really healed properly. Yeah. I was left with a bit of a stiff leg and a limp.
Yeah.
I would have no power in it. You see, when I'm walking, I really have to concentrate.
And what about your dad? Did he continue?
Daddy continued, yes. And sometime later then, he had a bomb underneath the car. They actually moved house. I was shot on the Thursday evening and they left on the Monday and went up and lived at Carrickray. And he used to go into, the Saddlers. It was a local pub in the town. And he always parked up at the top of up Bicol's Monument. You know, there was parking spaces up there and he always parked there. And they put the bomb on that night and it was meant to go off when he went down the hill towards the monument. But whatever happened, the tilt switch didn't ignite or whatever, I don't know what it does. And some man then on the Sunday morning was out walking a dog and found it.
Still there?
Uh-huh.
Still.
It had fell off the car as he was driving home and some man out walking his dog found it.
But it was still explosive.
Uh-huh.
It could go, that device could have gone off.
It could have gone off, uh-huh.
So it just fell off the car.
It fell off the car.
So your father's life was spared for that time.
Yeah.
And again, did that deter him? Did that just...
He stayed on until his retirement. And then he went off.
And obviously living in... You must have been living in fear. I mean, this...
Oh,
this could happen anytime.
I know I was anyway.
Were you living at home with your parents at that
stage? I was, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because I remember going into, I think it was to leave Mummy into work one morning for 9:30, I think it was, she started. And when we were coming back out, I could see a man away in front with a gun. And you know, my heart went thump, thump, thump. And I thought, oh my God, not again. But it was a local man was out shooting rabbits or something.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
But I was so, so scared.
Yeah. And that fear, did that turn into mistrust as well? Because, you know, your local people were the eyes and ears, really, of...
Yeah, very hard to trust. Very hard to trust anybody, I suppose.
Did that make you tough and hard and like going around with your head down, not getting into any conversation with people? And
it did. I always thought people would be saying, oh, there's that, and she was shot.
Yeah. So give me the dates. You were shot in around 1979, was it?
1980, the 28th of February.
And then the bomb is put underneath your father's car in what year?
I would say maybe 86, 87.
Yeah.
So can't remember just exactly, but I think it was in and around that.
And Belik was a hot spot for tourists.
Uh-huh.
With the IRA shooting over from one side. But they... why was it such a hot spot?
Well, the border was just... They could flee over the border just. Actually, there was a place called The Battery at Belik. And it was in the south. And maybe 100 yards was in the north. So they had that safe haven and they could fire at the barrack, at the police station and everything from there.
Yeah.
You see, that's where they went. Although that evening they had come up the road in a car that I was shot. But the guards told the police that they were across, but they never did anything about it. Nobody ever was told.
Yeah.
That they were across, you know, that. But Daddy remembers that evening too, that he met them on the road. And they were flying, and so was he. Because I had to go out on duty that evening. And he was coming home with stuff for the tea. And any other evening, he would have taken diesel cans out of the boot of the car, because he used to bring the diesel from home up for the tractor for the DOE, the road service. And that evening he didn't take them out. He just come straight in and put the tea on. And he had got, we had two wee palms and they loved bones. So he had went to the butchers and he had got them bones. And he heard something like a thump. And he went out to see were the dogs fighting. But it was actually me being shot that he had heard. And he thought it was the dogs.
And the fact that he got home that little bit earlier was...
Yeah.
Do you think that he was targeted?
He definitely was. He definitely was. I would say maybe us all.
Yeah. So during that time, it just lingered on, did it? Like, it every day was living this nightmare.
Yeah.
Have you got over it?
You never get over anything. I can put it to the back of my mind and forget about it, but it'll still come back. I would have nightmares about them being after me again, and about Daddy and me walking and they were after us.
Describe them. Who were them?
The IRA.
Yes, but...
The IRA.
Yeah, but, okay, the IRA. But who are the IRA? Tell me, what's your definition of IRA?
I could say plenty.
Do.
Scumbags. That have just no... They didn't care. They don't care about life. They think they're real martyrs just because they shoot somebody. But they're not. They're only cowards at the back of it. Because... Fair enough, they come across to the north, they shot me. They went back into Balik and they cheered about it.
How do you mean they cheered about it now?
They went back to some pub in Balik and they said, oh, we got one of them. And you see, they went to safe haven, Balik.
And so do you that pub, was that a Republican pub or a nationalist pub or?
It obviously was. You see, I stopped going to Balik because I was afraid. And my doctor wasn't Balik, but I actually changed from him to Enniskillen.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Because the doctor's surgery was up beside the police station. And I just was afraid to go, and I didn't, and I just moved my doctors then to Enniskillen.
And you saw the Balik as a...
it was a real...
IRA or...
Yeah, it definitely was.
Nationalist place.
Yeah.
And to you, did that separate you more from, say, the Irish side, Irish.
Yeah.
Because how would you define yourself? Do you think you're Irish or
no? I'm British.
Because you're angry at the Irish.
Yeah.
For what they did.
For what they did, and an awful lot of people had safe havens for them, covered up for them, and to me, I'm not Irish.
Yeah, I can understand, you know, if somebody threatens your family and your life,
yeah.
your own life. Mm-hmm. And what? And your boyfriend being shot, I mean, that was... for you, it must have been devastating. So the all of that was living a nightmare.
Definitely was. And his friend was shot in the arm as well.
Yeah.
But he lived.
And would you call it a war, or would you call it a conflict, or would you call it just Irish men and women fighting Irish men and women? What was it? What was it over? Was it sectarian, do you think?
Oh, definitely was. They're looking for a united Ireland. But sure, the south of Ireland doesn't want us anyway. You know, and I don't know what. And I can tell you one thing, they're going to be no better off. They'll actually be worse off. Because down south you have to pay for your doctor and everything. Whereas up in the north you don't. So I can't understand their motive for it.
Yeah. Do you feel your Protestant community is being eroded?
Probably, yes. Well, all you ever see on the television is, oh, we want a united Ireland, we want a united Ireland. That's all you ever see on the television. Mm-hmm. I've got, I don't even watch it now. So I couldn't be bothered with it.
And so your principles, your traditions, your culture over the years has always has been Ulster Unionist.
Yeah.
To the bone.
Mm-hmm. No, well, I wouldn't say to the bone, because I wouldn't be into politics and stuff like that. To me, I'm a Protestant. And that's it. You know, I wouldn't be going in for this politics or Paisley and all this kind of thing. I wouldn't have been
that way inclined. Why did you join the UDR?
That's something somebody had. A lot of people have asked me. Well, I suppose after my boyfriend was shot, I thought, I'll join the UDR. And I did. And I didn't join for any particular reason. I just thought, I'd like to join it.
Okay.
I suppose.
Was it to protect your people?
It was, yes. Uh-huh. It was. Because you could have picked up on wee things when you were out and about. Whereas if you weren't out, you never heard nothing.
Yeah.
You didn't know what was going on. I think, and that's why...
Okay, so it was better then to,
uh-huh.
to instead of sitting down by the fire,
uh-huh.
to be out yeah. there and uh-huh. checking out
yeah.
things. And so then, the fact, your father, was he a member of a lodge, or was he part of a...
Daddy was a lodge, I can remember, but then he left it. I don't think I'd have been that old.
Yeah.
I can remember him. He had a hard hat. He was in the lodge at Temple, along with his brothers. And they wore hard hats and that, you know, to do the parade on the 12th. I can remember that. And I can remember us going up to Temple for him to parade the town that morning. And then we all went on then, wherever the 12th was. Say, let it be in Enniskillen or Nisnaskee or whatever. We all headed away off. Because his brother owned a pub in Temple.
I see.
And we all came there and they did the town, and then we all headed off, car loads of us, to whatever the 12th was.
And so why did he leave then? Was it he was getting a bit old, was it? Or
I actually don't know why he left.
Mm.
I don't know.
But that celebration... Did you see the 12th as a... It's a celebration, is it? Or is it a...
It was a day out.
It's a marker. It was a day out. Well, that's a good way to put it now.
Was. Yeah. Oh, yes, because we lived so far away from everybody. And then we did, cousins would have all met up.
Yeah.
In Temple in the morning time, and we'd had a bit of fun. And that was it. Yeah. And then we went on to the 12th, and the weather was good then. We used to lie about on banks and everything and watch the parade going past. You know, that it was good then. But it wasn't. I wasn't out shouting up King Billy and all this kind of thing. Because that's not in me.
Yeah. And so your community, when you were growing up out there in
Billy,
were you very close, like, as a Protestant community? Did you pull together and look after each other?
They did, to be fair. You know, we had good neighbours. You know, if you needed somebody, that were always there for you.
Yeah.
That type of thing, which is good.
Yeah.
In a community, you know. But then, of course, you get the odd one or two Catholics that just set you up, and that's it.
And all of that, it left its mark on you, really.
Oh, it did. It has. It has, really.
And your can you see a change? Can you see maybe things might get better, or do you see things or haven't calmed down much at all?
I don't think in my day and age it'll ever be resolved.
Did you vote for the Good Friday Agreement?
I don't think I did.
Yeah.
I don't think I did. Gosh, that long ago now, I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just thinking of those that were released from prison. Would you have been in favour of that?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. You commit murder, you stay.
And the man that shot you, if you met him in the morning and he wanted to come in a reconciliation way, and would you shake his hand again?
No. I definitely would not. If I had a gun, I'd shoot him.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair comment. Yeah.
I really would. To think, to leave me like this at 22 years of age, I would shoot him. I really would. I'd do jail for him.
You still feel better in
that
sense? Yeah,
because he had no thought. Yeah. What he was doing, he was just out to get my father and me. That was it. He didn't care.
Doreen McGee, you coming in and telling me your story, I really appreciate it. I do indeed, and I'm sure we'll meet again.
Yeah,
and thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thanks.